Welcome back to Letters to a Young Mormon, a limited series from In Good Faith at BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry, host of the In Good Faith podcast, and we're reading through Adam Miller's 2013 collection of epistolary essays, Letters to a Young Mormon. Each letter will be read by writer, storyteller, songwriter, and host of BYU Radio's The Appleseed, Sam Payne. Now here's letter three, titled Sin.
Dear S, being a good person doesn't mean you're not a sinner. Sin goes deeper. Being good will save you a lot of trouble, but it won't solve the problem of sin. Only God can do this. Fill your basket with good apples rather than bad ones, but in the end, sin has as much to do with the basket as with the apples. Sin depends not just on your actions, but on the story you use those actions to tell. Like everyone, you have a story you want your life to tell. You have your own way of doing things and your own way of thinking about things. But my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, God's work in your life is bigger than the story you'd like that life to tell. His life is bigger than your plans, goals, or fears. To save your life, you'll have to lay down your stories and minute by minute, day by day, give your life back to Him. Preferring your stories to His life is sin. Sin is endemic to the story you're always telling yourself about yourself. This story shows up in that spool of judgmental chit-chat, sometimes fair, sometimes foul, that, like an offstage voiceover, endlessly loops in your head. This narration follows you around like a shadow. It mimes you, measures you, sometimes mocks you, and pretends in its flat, black simplicity to be the truth about you. This story is seductive. It seems so weightless and bulletproof and ideal, but as a shadow, it hides as much as it reveals. You are not your shadow. No matter how carefully you line up the light, your body will never fit that profile. Sin is what happens when we choose our shadows over the lives that cast them. Life is full of stories. Many of them are beautiful. Many of them are powerful. And we wouldn't be human without them. But life is not a story. Stories aren't the whole of life. They're just one part of life. And God doesn't love your story. He loves you. Your story, like everyone's, is a bit of a Frankenstein. Without your hardly noticing or choosing, it gets sewn together on the fly out of whatever borrowed scraps are at hand. You may have borrowed a bit from your mother, a bit from a movie you liked, and a bit from a lesson at church. You may have stitched these pieces together with a comment overheard at lunch, a glossy image from a magazine, and a second grade test score. Whatever sticks. More stuff is always getting added as other stuff is discarded. Your story's projection of what you should be is always getting adjusted. Your idea of your shadow's optimal shape gets tailored and tailored again. Like most people, you'll lavish attention on this story until, almost unwittingly, it becomes your blueprint for how things ought to be. As you persist in measuring life against it, this Franken-Bible of the self will become a substitute for God. Your story will become an idol, and this is sin. Our stories become idols when, instead of being one important part of life, we attempt to substitute them for life. And this idolatrous story is all the more ironic when, as a true believer, you religiously assign God a starring role in your story, as the one who, with some cajoling and obedience, can make things go the way you have plotted. But faith isn't about getting God to play a more and more central part in your vision of a successful story. Faith is about sacrificing your story on His altar. Everyone knows that little blush of pleasure that comes when you feel like your life and your story match. And I'm sure you know the pang of disappointment that follows when you feel like your life hasn't measured up. These blushes and pangs tend to rule our daily lives. They push and pull and bully us from one plot point to the next. Now I should be like this, we fervently say, and now I should have this, and now I should do this. We get so wrapped up in our stories and plans that, meanwhile, we lose track of what's real and present. The ordinary substance of real life gets upstaged by our grand and epic stories. Think about what it's like when you buy a new shirt. You slip, hopeful, into the dressing room. Backed by double mirrors, you model it and ask, does this fit my story? Does this match my shadow? As a teenager, I never had much luck with this. In junior high, I grew fast. We didn't have much money, and my clothes never seemed to fit. My sleeves were short, and my pants were flooded. I was always yanking at my cuffs, trying to make them longer. Late one fall, my mother took me to buy a new coat. I picked a kind of knockoff ski jacket, bright blue and trimmed with red and green. We even bought it a size too big. When we got home, I put it on and went out for a long, cold walk along our empty country road. For a long time, I walked back and forth, on a half-mile stretch, imagining with great pleasure what a stranger might say if they saw me, what they might imagine about who I was or where I was going in that new jacket. I was buttoned up safe. The coat seemed like exactly the kind of prop I needed to tell myself a more convincing story. And a more convincing story seemed like exactly what I needed to better protect me. That coat was just one of the many, many stories in which I've tried to hide. But even if you succeed and get your story to work for a while, you'll still be afraid. And when that story eventually fails to meet the measure of life, as all stories do, you'll feel ashamed. And your shame will manifest once again in that deep and familiar pang of disappointment. Shame is life's way of protesting against the constriction of the too tight story you're busy telling about it. The twist is that shame, manifest in this pang of disappointment, ends up siding with your story and blaming life. It doubles down on the self-important story you're telling about yourself. It recognizes that your shoes are too small and then still blames your feet for their size. Rather than encouraging you to sacrifice your story for the sake of your life, it encourages you to despise the life God is giving you, because that life doesn't measure up to your story. Jesus is not asking you to tell a better story or live your story more successfully. He's asking you to lose that story. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 10:39. Hell is when your story succeeds, not when it fails. Your suffocating story is the problem, not the solution. Surrender it and find your life. Your story is heavy and hard to bear. Come unto me, Jesus says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. Put down the millstone of your story, and take up the yoke of life instead. You will find Jesus' rest only in the work of caring for life. Let his life manifest itself in yours, rather than trying to impose your story on the life he gives. Obedience is important, but this isn't just about obedience. For sinners like us, the problem is not just that sin follows when we break the law. The problem is that sin severs God's law from life, and then rather than discarding it, cleverly repurposes it. In sin, the law, rather than rooting us in life, gets pressed into playing a leading role in the story you're trying to tell. Maybe in your story, the law plays the role of an accuser. You can't measure up. You're worthless. Or maybe in your story, the law plays the role of an admirer. You're so great. You keep the law. You do measure up. But either way, reduced to the role of an extra in your story, the law kills you because it abets your preference for flattering stories over the hard work of caring for living bodies. Keeping the law doesn't earn you heavenly merits, and breaking the law doesn't earn you hellish demerits. Both merits and demerits are about you. The purpose of the law is to point you away from yourself, free you from the self-obsessed burden of your own story, and center you on Christ. You don't need to generate merit in order to be saved. You need, instead, to come unto Christ and rely wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. 2 Nephi 31:19. The law points wholly to Christ and His grace. Keeping the law is the work of relying on Christ's merit, not the work of generating your own. This is still hard work, but it is work of an entirely different kind. When you sin not because you've failed to measure up to your story, but because you've privileged your story in the first place. Privileging your story, you don't treat others or yourself with the care life requires. By freeing you from your story, Christ frees you from your shame. He saves you by revealing that even your own life was never about you. Christ frees space in your head to pay attention to someone other than yourself. You don't need rigid rules and expectations. You need spirit. You need to be sensitive and responsive. Jesus doesn't want you to feel ashamed. He wants you to be responsible. Your stories aren't the truth. Life is, and only the truth can set you free. Love, A.
Letters to a Young Mormon, a limited series podcast, is produced by Heather Bigley. Our editor is Josh Orton. Our post-production sound designers are Mark Hansen, Brandon Lewis, Daniel Phillips, and Carly Wilson. The text for this limited series is taken from the second edition of the book, published in 2018 by Deseret Book. Adam S. Miller retains the copyright. This podcast is a production of BYU Radio. I'm your host, Stephen Cap Perry. If interfaith understanding is important to you, tune in to our sister podcast, In Good Faith, committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. Find In Good Faith wherever you get your podcasts.